Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2026, and this is episode 381. We are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, April 29th.
We have a really packed show today. We are looking at the highly anticipated 1.0 release of the Zed Editor, a bizarre billing bug with Claude code that is costing developers real money, a heated debate on online age verification, a fun multiplayer cursor experiment, and a massive Linux vulnerability that has been hiding in plain sight since 2017.
Let us jump right into it. Our top story yesterday, pulling in over 1,600 points, is the 1.0 release of the Zed Editor. This is a massive milestone for Nathan Sobo and his team. If that name sounds familiar, Nathan was one of the original creators of the Atom Editor and the Electron framework. Right, which is fascinating because Zed is essentially the anti-Electron editor. In their launch post, Nathan talks about how web technology offered an easy path for building cross-platform software, but it imposed a hard ceiling on performance. So they started completely over. They built Zed more like a video game, using a custom UI framework written in Rust called GPUI that renders directly on the GPU.
And it really shows. The comments on Hacker News are full of developers talking about how blazing fast it is. One user, Giancarlo Toro, mentioned they have used JetBrains IDEs for years, but have completely switched to Zed because it gives them that feature-rich environment, but with the speed of Sublime Text.
That comparison to Sublime Text came up a lot in the thread. People really miss having an editor that opens instantly and does not consume all your system memory. Another commenter noted that they had 9 projects open in Zed with all the language servers running, and it was only using 900 megabytes of RAM. They pointed out that VS Code would struggle to keep even one project open with that kind of footprint.
Of course, this being Hacker News, there was some debate about whether memory usage even matters anymore. Someone argued they have 32 gigs of RAM and they want to use it. But another user chimed in with a great counterpoint, saying they want to use that RAM to run local LLMs alongside their editor, not to subsidize the overhead of a heavy Electron app.
And Zed is definitely leaning hard into that AI future. Version 1.0 is shipping with AI built directly into the foundation. You can run multiple agents in parallel, and they are actively working on a synchronization engine called DeltaDB. The idea is to let humans and AI agents collaborate on the exact same code base in real time using CRDTs. It is a really ambitious vision for where coding is headed.
Speaking of AI tools, our next story is a wild one about Claude Code, which is Anthropic's command line tool. A user discovered that if the string Hermes.md appears anywhere in their Git commit history, the API requests get routed to extra usage billing instead of their included max plan quota.
This is one of those bugs that sounds completely made up until you see the reproduction steps. The user silently burned through $200 in extra usage credits while their actual plan capacity was basically untouched. The trigger was literally just having that specific string in a commit message, not even having the file itself on disk. Because Claude Code includes recent commits in its system prompt, something on Anthropic's backend was parsing that text and changing the billing route.
The technical side of the bug is interesting, but the Hacker News comments really focused on the customer service nightmare that followed. Anthropic support basically told the user they could not issue compensation for technical errors that result in incorrect billing routing.
Which is just wild to read. A user named E. Schaefer pointed out that it is incredibly surprising to see a legitimate business refuse refunds for technical errors that are entirely their own fault. And the thread quickly devolved into a broader discussion about the state of customer support in the AI era.
Exactly. People were noting that Anthropic uses an AI chatbot for their frontline support, and getting a human is nearly impossible unless you complain publicly on Hacker News or have a massive enterprise contract. It drew a lot of comparisons to Google's notoriously absent customer service.
One user had a pretty cynical but perhaps accurate take, saying Google realized years ago that providing terrible customer service does nothing to hurt their bottom line, and now other tech companies are just copying that playbook. It is frustrating because as we rely more on these AI coding assistants, the stakes get higher. Being left out to dry over a backend parsing bug is a scary thought for developers trusting these platforms with their credit cards.
Moving on to a broader internet policy issue, a post titled "Online Age Verification is the Hill to Die On" sparked a massive debate with over 800 points. The original post was a Twitter thread arguing aggressively against the push for server-side age verification laws.
This is a huge topic right now, with various governments trying to pass laws to protect kids online. But the Hacker News community is deeply concerned about the privacy implications of how these laws are implemented. The general consensus in the comments is that forcing users to upload government IDs to every website they visit is a privacy and security disaster waiting to happen.
A commenter named Bender laid out what they see as the only acceptable technical solution. They suggested using an RTA header, which stands for Restricted to Adults. Server operators would set this header on URLs containing adult or user-generated content. Then the client device, like a kid's phone or laptop, would detect the header and trigger parental controls locally.
It is a really elegant idea, Sarah, because it puts the control back on the device level rather than forcing the server to identify every single user. As another user pointed out, the current push for server-side verification feels less about protecting kids and more about destroying online anonymity entirely. If the goal was just to protect kids, client-side filtering would be the focus of the legislation.
But there was also some pushback in the thread. Some commenters argued that the tech industry brought this on themselves. They had years to build robust, privacy-respecting parental controls, and they failed to do so. Now, parents are demanding action, and politicians are stepping in with heavy-handed legislation. One user noted that if we just dismiss these laws as a privacy conspiracy, we are ignoring the very real harm social media is doing to kids, which just alienates the average parent who wants a solution.
It is a really tough needle to thread. We absolutely need to protect kids from addictive algorithms and harmful content, but building a massive identity tracking infrastructure across the entire web seems like a cure that might actually be worse than the disease.
Let us take a breather with something purely joyful. Our fourth story is Cursor Camp, the latest interactive project from Neil.fun. If you haven't played with it yet, it's a browser-based multiplayer experience where your mouse cursor is your character.
It is so delightful. You drop into this massive canvas with hundreds of other people's cursors buzzing around. You can play soccer, sit around a campfire, go down a slide, and try to collect hidden badges. It's completely chaotic, but in the best way possible.
The comments were just full of people smiling. Someone called it a cursor mosh pit. Another user mentioned how incredible it is to feel a human connection with someone on the other side of the world just by wiggling your mouse pointers at each other.
I loved the technical appreciation too. A user named John FN pointed out how genius it is to use mouse motion as the primary control scheme, especially the moments where the game takes control away from you, like when your cursor gets swept down a river or teleports through a door.
There was also a lot of nostalgia in the thread. People were comparing it to the early days of the internet or games like Club Penguin. It is just a great reminder that the internet can still be a fun, weird, and communal place. Though I did laugh at the commenter who suggested there should be a corporate class action lawsuit against Neil for all the lost productivity every time he drops a new game.
All right, back to the serious stuff for our final story. CopyFail is a newly disclosed Linux local privilege escalation vulnerability, tracked as CVE-20263-1431. And Sarah, this one is nasty.
It really is. It is a 100% reliable exploit that works on basically every Linux distribution shipped since 2017. It allows any unprivileged local user to get a root shell using a 732-byte Python script. No race conditions, no kernel-specific offsets needed, just a straight logic flaw in the kernel's crypto API.
What is fascinating is how it was found. An AI system called Accent Code discovered it after just about an hour of scanning the Linux crypto subsystem. It chained a logic bug in a function called OffensusNest through the AF-ALG interface to perform a 4-byte page cache write, which is exactly enough to compromise a setuid binary like the su command.
The Hacker News comments provided some incredible context here, specifically from a user named eBiggers, who actually works on the Linux kernel's cryptography code. They were visibly frustrated, stating that the AF-ALG interface should not even exist in the first place.
Yeah, they explained that AF-ALG was added to the kernel years ago without sufficient review. It is highly complex and exposes a massive attack surface to unprivileged user space programs. And the kicker is that it is almost completely unnecessary because user space already has its own cryptography libraries.
Exactly. The algorithm exploited here was an IPsec implementation detail that never should have been exposed to user space as a general purpose API. Ebbiger strongly recommended that anyone configuring a Linux kernel should disable all the crypto user API config options, which would mitigate not just this bug, but every past and future AF-ALG exploit.
It is a classic case of feature bloat leading to security nightmares. A feature built for a niche use case ends up sitting in the default kernel config for nearly a decade, creating a massive backdoor for anyone with local access. If you're running shared dev boxes, CI runners, or multi-tenant Kubernetes clusters, you really need to patch this or disable that module immediately.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod. 5 very different stories, but all highlighting the incredible breadth of what the Hacker News community cares about. From the bleeding edge of editor performance and AI bugs, to internet privacy, whimsical web experiments, and deep kernel security.
We hope you enjoyed the deep dive. Make sure to check the show notes for links to all the articles and discussions we covered today.
Thanks for listening, and we will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.